Senator Richard Durbin, the senior senator from the state of Illinois, that if he called in, that we would talk to him a little bit about the farm bill and what's been happening in Washington, D.C. He has done that, and dutifully we'll go to Washington, D.C. to talk to Senator Durbin. Good afternoon to you, Senator. Thanks for making the phone call today. We appreciate it.
Sure. Glad to be with you.
Tell me, where are we at this point? I know there's been some extra work that was done on the farm bill, and I believe something's been approved. Is that correct?
Well, there's been change. I don't know if it's improved, but time will tell. But the Senate Agriculture Committee under Chairman Tom Harkin of Iowa unanimously reported out a farm bill this afternoon. That's good news that there would be a bipartisan agreement, but many of us understand there'll be plenty of amendments offered. Next week will not be the week for the farm bill on the Senate floor, but the following week should be. And that gives us a chance to finish the bill in the Senate, move it to conference, and finish it before the end of the year. There's still some tough issues out there. One of them has to do, for example, with the kind of payments that farmers would receive. I sat down with Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, and we tried to come up with a new approach. We worked with corn growers across the country, Illinois and Iowa corn growers in particular, to talk about a new system, a new approach that could save the government money and still provide basic protection to growers. Now, many corn growers have had a pretty good year or two, and they understand that the traditional reason for federal programs was a safety net in bad years. So we decided to take an honest look at a farmer's income, gathering information on both price and yield, and after crop insurance, providing a basic revenue or income protection for the farmers. It turned out that the program was offered on a voluntary basis in the farm bill, and then when they calculated the potential savings to the federal government, it was substantial. I remember when Senator Harkin of Iowa came to me and said, you know, this idea you have about revenue protection turns out to be a way to generate more federal funds, that is, reduce the cost of the program. Well, at the last minute, Senator Roberts of Kansas came in with a modification, which I understand was supported by the crop insurance industry. It is really made almost impossible to explain at this point. I could just say this. They have promised coming out of committee we will be debating this during next week and, if necessary, consider amendments on the floor the following week.
So this is what's happened is that the average crop revenue program that you and Senator Brown from Ohio had put forward has been adapted and amended at least a couple of times in the process, and you're not quite sure how it works at this point.
Well, I know a few things. The Roberts Amendment significantly changed the revenue proposal by delinking it to crop insurance and making it less generous to producers and, frankly, not as attractive to Illinois farmers. So I go into this debate believing that my good friend Senator Roberts has taken a roller brush to a Rembrandt. We had a pretty good piece of legislation, and the crop insurance industry did not like it and made some changes in it. That isn't the end of the story. There's a chance for members of the Senate on the floor to make their own judgment.
Now, I understand that Senator Roberts took a look at it and said that in the worst 9 years in Kansas, this would have only paid your program or the program that had come out of the Ag Committee would have only paid out twice. He didn't think that that was enough. What is it that out of the program that was prior to the amendments that the crop insurance industry didn't like?
Well, first let me say to Senator Roberts and those who made that observation, it's a voluntary program. You don't have to sign up for it. You can stick with the traditional program if you like. And secondly, the crop insurance industry in America has been receiving rather generous support and subsidy from the federal government over the years. And they believe that if our program went forward, that their subsidy might be reduced. And so they are coming back with a proposal that they think will be more generous to their insurance industry. That's not my bottom line. I wish them well. We need them. But my bottom line is the producer, to make sure that they're protected in a bad year, and the taxpayer, to make certain that they're not making payments in great years for farmers.
And how long this will be taken up again, when do you think?
In a week. This coming week is filled, but the following week we should start with the farm bill.
Okay, so I suspect that what will happen here, at least on campus, is that Gary Schnittke, who is an ag economist, will take a look at what's been passed out and then start a comparison on the FarmDoc website, and farmers will be able to take a look at it themselves and put those numbers in, as long as there's enough in the Roberts Amendment so that he can start putting the calculations in, and people can visit the FarmDoc website. We'll put it in our weekend newsletter. Anything else out of Washington that you'd like to update us on before I let you go for the
afternoon? Yes, the word bill, I think, is worth a mention. This Water Resources Development Act bill has been in the works for almost 7 years, and Congress has been unable to pass it. Well, we finally got it together. We passed a bill with overwhelming margins in the House and Senate. In fact, 98 senators voted for it. It's a bill that invests money in locks and dams, basic infrastructure on our waterways, and it also has a lot of flood and levee protection included in it. It's $23 billion over 5 years. The president received the bill today and promised he'd veto it immediately. I think that's a terrible decision. It took us so long to put this together. It's long overdue. This investment's needed in a lot of infrastructure that is aging and in need of repair. The president, I don't understand the thinking that he could ask us just a few days ago for $196 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, not paid for, and then turn around and say that it's irresponsible for us to invest $23 billion over the next 5 years in infrastructure important to the Midwest economy. After the president's veto comes back to Capitol Hill, the House will consider it first, then the Senate, if the House successfully overrides. And I hope to join with a lot of my colleagues on a bipartisan basis to take a different position than the president.
I suppose you would be asking those farmers that would be on the Illinois and upper Mississippi to give a call to their congressman.
Please do. I mean, they have been a great lobbying force. I mean, it's been a source of real frustration waiting 6 years for this to happen. Now we finally got it together, and the president has said no. I think we can override his veto, and I hope we can do it with strong bipartisan support back home.
Senator, thanks much for calling this afternoon. We appreciate it a lot.
Sure. Good talking to you.
Senator Richard Durbin, the senior senator from the state of Illinois, joining us from Washington, D.C., with an update on what's been happening there in terms of legislation. Of course, word of the Water Resources Development Act, an important piece of legislation for those farmers along the upper Mississippi and the Illinois River. And Farm Bill has been moving fairly rapidly through the Senate. Takes a week off. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to update the FarmDoc website. Gary Schnittke, hopefully, will do that in the next week, and you can visit that site and see how it would play out on your farm.